A high-speed chase ends with a car crashing headfirst into oncoming traffic on a busy Raleigh road. I'm live with details at the scene.
A timeline and new information about a deadly shootout between Raleigh police and a man they say shot at cars near a middle school. What their new report reveals about how quickly police put a stop to the terrifying situation. Then, a crisis in North Carolina. Children sleeping in shelters, hotels, and offices. A look at the desperate effort to help more than 12,000 kids find a loving home within the foster care system.
See the brand new model run for when rain arrives in your town tonight.
And as we take a live look at the dual Doppler 5000, some scattered showers are moving into the triangle. Thank you for joining us. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. Tonight will not be a washout, but we do have the rain moving through. Meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WRL Severe Weather Center with when this rain will make its way out of our area.
It's likely to move out as many of us are sleeping tonight. Clinton, you can see a live look from Alfredo's Italian restaurant. The roads here are wet. We've got the rain coming down, and it's been coming down for a few hours in our southern counties and around the Sandhills. But we're starting to see the rain lighten up around the Sandhills. It's now making its way into the triangle, and this is in the form of scattered showers. It is going to be an on and off light rain that we see throughout the remainder of the evening and into tonight. You can see a few showers in North Raleigh right now, some additional showers moving into Chapel Hill that should eventually make their way to Durham. And we do still have some showers around Fayetteville, Sampson County, up into Johnston and Harnett counties. Future cast hour by hour through the remainder of this evening and tonight continues to show these scattered on and off showers throughout the night hours, and we're likely to see them continue even early during the overnight. The clouds slower to move out tomorrow. I'll show you when we should see some sunshine and temperatures jumping into the upper 80s again coming up.
Now we're talking. Kat, thanks.
And we continue to follow breaking news in Raleigh. A chase ended when a car flipped over a concrete divider and landed on top of another car. Two drivers were hurt. WRL's Eric Miller is live on Rock Quarry Road where this scene unfolded. Eric, it just cleared in the last 30 minutes or so.
That's right, Deborah, but there's plenty left behind showing just how serious this crash was, including this sign right here. This is the school zone speed limit sign that would normally be sitting on the other side of Rock Quarry Road. Instead, it was snapped off at the base by the force of this impact and thrown more than 20 yards. And you take a look at some of this video from the scene, you can get a sense of just how violent this impact was. State Highway Patrol tells us this all started right around 5 this evening, peak rush hour. Troopers tried to stop a gray Acura over on 440. That driver wouldn't stop, instead leading troopers on a miles-long chase that ended here on Rock Quarry Road. That gray Acura, the driver trying to turn onto Rock Quarry, going too fast, hitting that center concrete divider, flipping up upside down in midair before coming to rest on top of an orange Subaru in the opposite lanes. Now, both of the drivers here had to be taken to the hospital. We're still working to learn what their condition is this evening. We're also working to learn what that gray Acura, why troopers were trying to stop it in the first place. No word on that yet, but talking to troopers here at the scene, they tell us this chase, the speeds involved, the number of people on the road. This is a very serious situation, something they are taking very seriously as they continue to investigate. Deborah?
Well, that's a lot of damage. Eric Miller, live in Raleigh. Thanks, Eric.
A new report is giving us some new insight into the moments a man with a gun fired at vehicles and officers near Ligon Middle School as parents were dropping children off for the day. Raleigh police identified that shooter as Jorge Vega Lezama and laid out a clear timeline now of how the whole incident unfolded a week ago. WRL's Chelsea Donovan explains.
It was about 20 minutes of pure panic last Monday near the drop-off line of Ligon Middle School. Teachers inside report a man firing shots at people's cars, even trying to open one of those vehicles. That man then made his way into a nearby neighborhood and started firing shots at police officers before he was shot himself.
There's a man with a gun on Houston Street near Ligon Middle School. He's pointing at his gun at teachers' cars.
That was the first 911 call at 6:53 a.m. from a terrified teacher inside Ligon Middle School last Monday. It's what prompted police to respond to the area, where they say Jorge Vega Lezama was pointing a gun and even firing shots at occupied cars.
I work at the school. I was about to turn on the road, and he shot at my car.
In Raleigh Police's five-day report, one caller says children were inside the vehicle, and another caller said the
suspect tried to open the door of a car at a stoplight. Ligon Middle School was put on a code yellow lockdown due to that threat. Raleigh Police says three officers, Sergeant R.A. Siriana and his canine partner, as well as officers M.L. Adams and P.J. Fernstrom, arrived at the 700 block of Cumberland Street. Sergeant Siriana saw the suspect standing in front of a home. Then all three officers got out of their cars, and that's when Vega Lasama began firing.
Shots fired. Suspect is shooting at us.
The officers took cover behind their cars. You can see here those cars are surrounded by evidence markers. The report says Officer Adams fired at the suspect three times. Vega Lasama fired more shots before retreating behind a home. Minutes later, he moved into the driveway. The police narrative goes on to say as Vega Lasama moved closer to Sergeant Siriana, Sergeant Siriana fired four shots at him, one of which resulted in a fatal gunshot wound to the head.
Those three officers are now on administrative leave. That's standard protocol as the SBI and Raleigh police conduct their investigations. Chelsea Donovan, WRAL News, Raleigh.
Tonight, 42-year-old Saquon Evans is charged with murder, accused of killing his co-worker inside the Durham Dollar Tree after an argument this morning. WRAL's Brett Neese explains police also identified the victim in this case.
Police tell me the victim is 35-year-old Byron Ganey. The suspect in this case is 42-year-old Saquon Evans. Around 2:30 is when police wrapped up the investigation here at the scene. Ever since then, there's been a sign on the door that says that the store is closed. People have continued to try to show up and shop here, most unaware of the tragedy that happened just this morning. Before the doors could even open for customers on a Monday morning, shots rang out inside this Dollar Tree. Police say two employees got into some sort of argument before one pulled out a gun and shot the other. That person was rushed to the hospital, but died from his injuries. I spoke with one man who says he comes to this Dollar Tree almost every day, but he has never seen any conflict between employees.
Everybody seemed real friendly to me. They always talk to me, they all talk to each other, no argument, no fuss, and always laughing, joking.
Police tell me Evans is charged with murder. Tonight he's being held in the Durham County Jail. In Durham, Brett Neese, WRAL News.
Police have identified the man shot and killed at the V-Lux Hookah Lounge in Fayetteville last night. Police say 30-year-old Anthony Bradshaw died at the scene. Four others were hurt, including one man who remains in critical condition at a Fayetteville hospital. No word yet on his identity.
A Biltmore Estate employee was killed over the weekend when a tree fell during a high wind gust. Biltmore was experiencing power outages at the time Saturday and closed late that afternoon for the rest of the day. Several emergency agencies responded. Biltmore Estate released a statement saying it is offering assistance to the family and providing support to the employees. Last summer, New York City firefighter was killed when a tree limb fell on his vehicle at the estate.
More than 12,000 children are in North Carolina's foster care system right now. But the need is actually greater than that. The Children's Home Society of North Carolina says they receive about 300 requests from the Department of Social Services every single month to help children in immediate need. A shortage of licensed foster families means many children simply can't be placed. WRL's Gerald Owens explains.
Good morning, Your Honor. Thank you for letting me speak to you.
These are the feelings of a boy writing to a judge regarding his hope for a stable future.
I thought I would be separated from my brother. I was also lonely because we had no family.
Michaela Reinhardt lived through a similar crisis.
A father who, was unfortunately an addict and fell into that addiction pattern.
At the age of 9, she moved around, staying with relatives.
At 12 years old, I entered my first foster home. I was moved across 15 plus different foster homes before I found my forever family.
Now Reinhardt is a family recruitment specialist for the Children's Home Society of North Carolina with a mission.
Being here to stand in that gap for the youth in need, because we are in such a crisis across North Carolina and the United States.
A crisis, she says, when children are sleeping in shelters or hotels or in the offices of the Department of Social Services. DSS and the Children's Home Society are stepping up recruitment for more foster families. They also plan to help more families through the licensing and placement process. The focus is meeting a child's needs.
Obviously, a child needs one-on-one connection or a family setting. It's just tragic that they have to be in that situation.
She says more children need a happy ending, and soon.
Today is probably going to be the happiest day of our lives. My one wish would be for everyone to have the best family and the happiest day, too.
Gerald Owens, WRAL News.
And Reinhardt says that after she aged out of the foster care system, she pursued adult adoption with whom she now calls her mom, who had been her childhood therapist.
The price of oil surged today after OPEC Plus producers announced surprise cuts to output. That means you can expect to see higher prices at the pump as the summer approaches. The U.S. benchmark rose nearly 5.5% to $80 a barrel. And as a result, this could also prolong inflation. That's because it is likely to cause a reaction from many key indicators used by the Fed when deciding to raise rates. Right now, the average price in North Carolina is $3.36 per gallon. It's a little higher in Durham, Chapel Hill at $3.40. Both are lower than the national average, which is $3.50.
Crews are busy cleaning up Dreamville. It was a big one this weekend. Fans headed home after some live music in Raleigh. But the impact that is left behind is long-lasting. We're going to give you a closer look at the two-day festival's boost to business downtown. Plus,
get tested. That's the message from health officials here in Wake County who are seeing increases in sexually transmitted infections. Tonight, we're digging into the numbers.
Taking a live look over Wake County from WRL's Tall Tower Cam. Why do they call it the Tall Tower Cam, you think? Well,
tall.
Pretty tall. Yeah. Showing some showers as they move into the triangle area. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is going to have the details for you on that and your full forecast coming up.
A dramatic increase in syphilis cases statewide has health officials sending a clear message. Get tested. WRL Investigates is digging into the numbers.
One of the biggest concerns is pregnant women passing the infections to their newborns. WRL's Joe Fisher shows us this may be another long-term impact of the pandemic.
Wake County is seeing an increase really across the board in sexually transmitted infections. Here at the county's health center, testing and treatment are free, and the people who run this clinic are urging residents to take control of their sexual health.
We want people to get in and get treated as quickly as possible.
Wake County is seeing a rise in STIs, from HIV cases up 42% in 4 years to gonorrhea up 6% and syphilis up 25%.
If you're not treated for syphilis, you can go years without knowing that you have it.
Statewide, HIV cases have remained flat. Chlamydia and gonorrhea cases have dropped, but syphilis numbers have swelled 81% since 2019, with nearly 4,000 cases last year.
There's been a decrease in condom use.
Less protection and less access to testing during the pandemic has led to the dramatic increase. Alonza Pamplin oversees Wake County's STI clinic. She wants parents to have early conversations with their kids.
If you don't teach youth how to use condoms, about condom use, when they do engage in their first sexual experience, then they're not going to technically be able to make an informed decision.
In December, North Carolina health officials issued this public health alert, warning of an increase in congenital syphilis. Over the last 5 years, the number of babies in our state born with the infection increased from 19 to 56, a nearly 200% increase. State law requires providers to test pregnant women for syphilis 3 times during their pregnancy.
There can be irreversible damage along the line if they aren't treated in a timely manner.
Pamplin wants to stop the stigma surrounding screenings to stop the spread.
Definitely get tested. Get tested with your partner together.
And people should not be waiting until they have symptoms to get tested. It's recommended people get tested at least once a year if they're sexually active, and more often every 3 to 6 months if they have multiple partners. I'm Joe Fisher, WRAL News, Raleigh.
In North Carolina, DHHS says even some doctors are not comfortable
to talk to their patients about sexual health. State health officials continue to send messaging to providers, particularly about the increase in syphilis cases. If you are driving in downtown Raleigh, you'll notice dozens of new traffic signs stopping drivers from turning on red. The city council voted last month to install the no turn on red signs throughout downtown. The change comes after a state employee was hit and killed in a 2019 crash. In the last year alone, Raleigh police say two pedestrians have been hit and injured. The city is in the process now of installing 195 signs at 101 traffic signals. All of the signs should be in place by May 16th.
Well, no matter where you are in our area, a lot of people seeing some clouds and some people even seeing some light rain. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. Kat?
Fayetteville has certainly seen some rain today. You can still see the sidewalks are wet outside the WRAL Fayetteville newsroom. And this is light rain that we're seeing. It's not going to add up to much in your rain gauge. And unfortunately, not enough to really help with the pollen out there, of course, which is high again today. We have more showers that are making their way into South Raleigh right now. Some of the showers just west of Durham are headed your way. And we have more showers making their way into Moore County, Wayne County, Goldsboro. The rain will continue. These on and off spotty showers are likely to continue into tonight, and we'll see about a 30% chance for rain after midnight. By early tomorrow morning, though, we are waking up to cloudy skies, so it's still a gray start to your Tuesday morning. As for rain chances, about a 30% chance at 6 a.m., but by the main morning commute, 8 a.m., 9 a.m., we should be dry. Temperatures around 58, so a little bit warmer than we were at that time this morning. If you do want to get outside, get some exercise in tomorrow. Most of the day ends up being dry, just gray for the first half of the day. By lunchtime, still mostly cloudy, 73. During the afternoon, though, that's when we should see some thinning of the clouds, and that allows temperatures to jump back up into the upper 70s to perhaps 80 degrees for some of us that get to see more sunshine. And that's going to be our next big weather story. Once we get past this round of rain, we're heating back up this week. 80 tomorrow, 87 degrees on Wednesday. That isn't a record. Record highs this time of year as you get into April are in the 90s, and then 82 again on Thursday. 3 days in a row in the 80s. So your warm weather lovers, you have something to look forward to this week. As we see our jet stream lift to the north, we'll see a big ridge of high pressure building in over the East Coast. And this is what leads to above normal temperatures, but there is a sharp divide, and we begin to see that boundary move toward us Thursday into Friday in the form of a cold front. It will deliver some cooler air as we head into Easter weekend. High temperatures may only be in the 50s on Friday and Saturday. But the way it looks right now, Easter doesn't look too bad. 65 the high, a cool morning, temperatures in the 40s, and the sunrise for any sunrise services, 6:50 a.m. Right now, just a 20% chance for rain for Easter Sunday. But there are still a lot of question marks in terms of weekend rain chances. And that's because Thursday's system, the cold front that arrives and brings a chance for rain and thunderstorms and some cooler air with it, may stall out nearby. And that could allow for some additional waves of rain to move along that front. So I encourage you, keep checking back in for updates. It's really a tricky forecast, and we'll be working closely to pinpoint that for you in the coming days. For now, just enjoy the warmer weather. You've got dry weather for the next couple of days. Once we get to Thursday, that's when we begin to see those changes, and we'll watch for some thunderstorms. Right now, it doesn't look severe. We'll let you know if that changes as well. Question marks for Friday and Saturday. Easter Sunday, though, not looking too bad. 65 degrees is still a little bit below normal for this time of year, but we're in between the hot and the cold, the 80s and the 50s that we have leading up to Sunday at least.
No monotony in that forecast.
No, not at all.
Every day is different. Thanks, Kat.
Still ahead. Hey, it's baseball season.
Yes.
Baseball's back. That means the Fayetteville Woodpeckers are ready to play ball, and some of their home games are going to the Dogs. We're going to explain what you can expect this season coming up.
Nearly 10 acres of land is up for sale in Raleigh to build massive estate homes.
The property sits between North Hills and Five Points near Carolina Country Club. The 9.64 acres is set for one five-acre home and four other homes to fill out the rest. A large, luxury, modern estate described as resembling a home suitable for Bruce Wayne.
Does it come with a bat car?
Right, Batman here in Raleigh. Okay.
Right now, the cleanup is underway in Raleigh after 50,000 people filled the big field at Dix Park for each day of the Dreamville Music Festival.
It was great. Crews are taking apart the stages and picking up litter left behind from the two-day hip-hop and rap festival put on by Fayetteville native J. Cole. It has been called an enormous success. The festival's significance in Raleigh is growing each year. The Dreamville first in 2019 brought in $3.8 million to the city. This year's festival is expected to more than double that economic impact.
We heard from a lot of businesses who did really well. So we heard from many businesses who said we had a great weekend.
It's the exposure piece, man. You got so many people from out of state, out of city, out of town who are becoming aware of what we're doing here in downtown Raleigh locally.
And hopefully they come back. Dreamville is already planning to come back next year, even as the cleanup continues from this past weekend. Dix Park is back open to the public, but the city says the big field will be closed through the end of the week.
It's going to get bigger every year. I know it. Tonight, we're getting our first look at what to expect from the Fayetteville Woodpeckers this season.
Well, this includes meeting the new players and watching players hit the field for a live batting practice. Today, the Woodpeckers announced a partnership with local animal rescues for Wagon Wednesdays. I love the name. Every Wednesday home game, with the exception of April 26th, dogs will be welcome to the stadium with several dog-friendly promotions. The opening night is Friday against the Carolina Mudcats.
I love when baseball's back. It makes there's nothing that says spring like that. The Durham Bulls just opening at home the other night. What a great time. Yeah. Thanks for joining us tonight here on WRAL News.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and at 11 on WRAL. We hope to see you then. Have a great night.
Watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.